I want you to get your Bible this morning, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Once you find it, I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Might I ask that if for some reason you have an emergency and you need to slip out, please slip out in such a way that you don't disturb any more than what's necessary. If you have a cell phone on, we'd like for you to turn it off or put it on vibrate so it doesn't go off during the service. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 8, and I'm going to read a couple of verses out loud to you. The Bible says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." If you'll look back at me, please. This morning, I'm going to preach a sermon to you that I've entitled, "Don't Quit on God." Don't quit on God. If you, by chance, and there might be a few of you that at one point, maybe at a conference or something one day, may have heard me preach this sermon, I'm going to make you a promise. The contents and the purpose of this sermon, I think you could hear it once a week, and you'd still need it. There is a devil. He's out to make our lives miserable. He'd like to get us away from serving God. And the whole intent of the sermon today is to get you to realize you should not quit on your God. Let's pray. Father, help me to be able to concentrate on the sermon. Help there not to be any interruptions. May the young people and old people alike sit and listen with open hearts and open minds. Give my mind strength as I try to deliver the truth that you have given us for this day. Holy Spirit of God, help this meeting to be a supernatural one. God, I truly believe there's someone that will hear this sermon, and it will virtually salvage their Christian life. Bless us now as we think about the truth of today's sermon, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Before I get into the bulk of my sermon, I want to tell you about a conversation that I had. I was with a pastor, I have to be honest, a man that I admired in a great, and still admire in a great way. He had been pastoring an old-fashioned Baptist church for 60-plus years, a real warrior. I think all of you, might I explain to you, if you love the Lord and you serve God, you know how the devil can be hard on you as a servant of God. You go to a church that's keeping people out of hell, the devil attacks you. I hope I don't mean to sound odd about this, but I want you to understand the devil's really hard on preachers of old-fashioned Baptist churches. He'll give the congregation a fit, but he'll give the preachers a double dog fit. He really makes it hard on them. This pastor had been pastoring for over 60 years, and I began to listen to him testify about some of the hardship in his life. I won't go into just multiple things that he told me, but one thing he said to me, he said, "Brother Owens, when I was a younger pastor, I did not know how to handle all the stresses of the ministry." He said people would be mean to my wife and I, and you're supposed to smile and go on and love your enemy. And he said all the stresses of the finances of the church and standing for God in a wicked and vile day. He said, "I'll be honest with you." He said, "I did not know how to handle the stress of it all." He said, "And I didn't handle it very well." He said, "It wasn't but just a few years into my ministry as a pastor," he said, "I had what the world would deem a nervous breakdown." He said, "I just virtually fell apart and wondered if I could do it. He said, but I was able to keep on going for God. He said, and it wasn't long after that, he said, I had my first heart attack. He said, but I was able to get my health back enough and get it together. And he said, I kept on going and kept on pastoring. He said, and then my first bout with cancer came into my life. He said, and we fought the battle, and best of our knowledge, we won it the best that we knew how. He said, and then later on, as a result of so many things, he said, I faced another heart attack. He said, and boy, it hit us, and it was hard, and it was hard on me, and it was hard on my wife. And he said, and all the time we were facing this, he said, my wife's health was just terrible, and the challenges were just immense. He said, and then my son, who I loved dearly, his marriage was on the rocks, and then virtually his marriage just ended up in a terrible divorce, he said. And it was so hard on us. I'd just getting over the effects of my second heart attack. He said, and then I'm getting into my older years, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. He said, now here I am. I've been at pastoring and preaching for 55 plus years. And he said, I got to be honest with you. I really wondered if those hits in life were going to slow down, and maybe here in the end it'd get a little simpler. He said, and then it was just a couple years ago I was diagnosed again with a totally different type of a cancer. He said, and I've got to tell you, it has been challenging, but I have to say this to all of you. As I'm sitting there, and we were eating, I think Mrs. Owens and I, and he and his wife were there, and we were eating some fried chicken at this restaurant, and he was telling me this entire story. I've got to tell you something. Through all of that, he was still in the ministry. He was still pastoring. He had been knocked down quite a few times, but I've got good news for you. Never knocked out, just knocked down. And there's a difference in being knocked down and being knocked out. He just kept on going. You know, folks, someone here today, I believe, probably desperately needs to hear what I'm about to say. It is the Apostle Paul that says these words, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." The Apostle Paul here, he tells us, he said, I was troubled on every side. Do you understand what Paul was saying? He said, I was getting a beat on or attacked from the front. He said, but not only did I feel like I was being attacked from the front, I felt like I was being attacked from the back. And believe me, there's always the attack from the back and the backstabbers and all that that goes along with it. He said, I was getting it from the front, and then I started getting it from behind. He said, then I looked off to the right, and it, sure enough, here it came. The onslaught of the devil, and pay attention, don't talk, look right up here. And he said, the onslaught of the devil started coming at me from the right. So I'm getting it from the front, and I'm getting it from the back, and I look to my right. Now I'm getting it from the right. And I'm sure Paul said, you know what I'll do? I know which way to run. I'll run to my left. He said, sure enough, I looked to my left, and here it came. I was getting it. He said, we are troubled on every side. You ever in life feel like no matter which way you turn, you say, when I start to go forward, there's trouble. When I look back, there's trouble. When I look to my right, there's trouble. When I look to my left, there's trouble. And he said, that's how I feel. He said, I'm troubled on every side. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. He said, and I'm not totally sure what to do. About the time I figure out what will fix the problem in front of me, I realize I got to fix the problem behind me, and so I'm trying to figure out what to do with that one, and then I got this problem to the right side of me, and if I go to fix it, the problem on the left side is going to be intensified, and when I'm supposed to zig, I try to zag, and when I'm supposed to go up, I'm kind of kneeling down, and I'm just trying to figure this whole thing out. He said, I am perplexed. You know, every once in a while you face things, and the perplexity is,
We can't fix everything. We can't. There's some things you just can't make them go away. They're here to stay, and you can't fix it totally, and that's perplexing. And he said, that's what Paul said. He said, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. He said, I'm being persecuted. You know, the devil will persecute you. The world will persecute you. They'll be hard on you as a Christian. They'll mock you because you love God. He said, I'm cast down, but not destroyed. Say, what do you mean by cast down? Well, I'm not totally sure what all that means, but, you know, there's sometimes people come into life and knock us down. I mean, you just get knocked down. If nothing else, the devil will knock you down. He's out to knock everybody down that he possibly can. But not only does the devil try to knock us down, then there are people that knock us down. And then I've got this problem of my own. Every once in a while, I knock me down. I can knock me down. People can knock me down. The devil can knock me down. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side. I'm perplexed. I'm cast down. He said, it's tough. But he said these words too, though. He said, I'm troubled, but not distressed. In other words, I'm troubled, but I'm not going to quit. He said, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, I'm perplexed, but I'm not going to quit. He said, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. In other words, I'm persecuted, but I'm not going to quit. He said, I'm cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, he said, I'm knocked down. I knocked myself down. Somebody knocked me down. I've been knocked down, but I'm going to get back up. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, that is exactly what he did. He kept getting back up. You know, folks, I watch a lot of Christians in our day and age tend to want to quit on God. Listen, don't quit on God. That's not the answer. You won't solve your problem. Hey, many of you, I don't worry about where you stand as much as I worry about will you continue to stand. You face the battles of life, and they're out there. And folks, we should not quit on God. There are so many scriptures that tell us that we shouldn't quit on God. For instance, Matthew 19:26, it says, but with God, all things are possible. What a great verse. In Genesis 18:14, the question is asked, and it includes its own answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, there's an obvious answer. No, nothing is too hard for the Lord. I love Romans 8:37, where it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Boy, that's good news. The Bible says in Judges 8, verse 4, it says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. You know what that means? It said, we're faint. We're wore down, but we're going to keep on going. Faint, yet pursuing. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts of God, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You say, what's that mean? We're not to turn back. You're not to turn back. We're to keep on going. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 62, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what God's saying? He's saying, look ahead, straight forward, keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't give up. You might get knocked down, but get right back up. Don't you quit on God. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2, truly my soul waiteth upon God, for him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, he said, I'm anchored in. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to hold firm for God. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, is that talking about God's going to be with us forever? Oh, sure. But what he's telling you is, it's not just the duration of time. He's talking about he will help you to endure whatever you have to endure until we reach our final destination. Over and over again in the scripture, God tells us, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going. Hey, listen. Even people in the world understand that you shouldn't quit. I'm talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that they're not at, they wouldn't have been necessarily in church on a Sunday morning. The world even knows you've got to keep on going. The world's business gurus are not quitters. Did you know that Henry Ford of the Ford Motor Company went broke 5 times before successfully founding the historic company called the Ford Motor Company? He did not quit. Macy started 7 businesses, all that failed, before his famous Macy store in downtown New York succeeded. He didn't quit. Bill Gates was a Harvard dropout and had a failed first business that was called Traf-O-Data, but he didn't quit. And eventually, he created that global empire that everybody knows is called Microsoft. Do you understand? Ford could have quit. Macy could have quit. Gates could have quit, but they didn't. And look, if men in the world understand you got to keep on going when it gets tough, I think you and I should understand that. You know, the world's thinkers, they're not quitters. I'm talking about the brainiacs of the world. For instance, Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, his name is synonymous with virtually being a genius. You know, he was unable to talk until he was 4 years of age. You understand, his teachers thought that he was mentally handicapped, but he didn't quit. And who hasn't heard of Einstein? Isaac Newton, who is known in our day as a mathematical and a physics genius. Isaac Newton, now known as that genius, started as a loser that couldn't even manage a small-time farm that belonged to his family. He got shipped off to Cambridge University as a last resort just to get him away from the family because they thought he was such a loser. That's Isaac Newton, the physics genius. You know, not only are the thinkers of the world smart enough to know you just can't quit. Not only are the business gurus of the world smart enough to know you just can't quit, the inventors of the world are that way too. Most of you have heard the name Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was told by his teachers when he was young that he was too stupid to learn. Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. Someone told him, "You have failed 1,000 times. Edison simply said, "No, I did not fail, but my invention was a 1,000-step process to success." You know what? He didn't quit, and you can thank God that he didn't, because we have lights in this building, and Edison would not quit, and Newton would not quit, and Einstein would not quit, and Bill Gates, he did not quit, and Macy did not quit. And Ford did not quit. You know, folks, if you're going to do anything and make anything out of your life, you're going to have to learn to face the challenges of life. And when you get knocked down, get back up and try again. Orville and Wilbur Wright, the Wright brothers, faced a lot of illness in their life, faced a lot of depression in their life. They originally started a bicycle shop. The bike shop also became their laboratory because they had it in their brains someday somebody could fly. And at that bike shop, they experimented and experimented. And after tons of failed prototypes, they finally invented a plane that would be airborne. And they did not quit. And you know something? They changed our modern world. You know that the world's artists and the world's writers understand the importance of going on when there are challenges. Vincent van Gogh, during his lifetime, only sold 1 painting. He was never really a success while he was alive, but he kept going. He kept painting. And he painted somewhere around 800 paintings. Now, his paintings bring hundreds of millions of dollars. What happened? He just kept going. Many of you have heard of the adventure writer by the name of Zane Grey. Zane Grey started out as a dentist, but couldn't cut it, and he failed. He tried to write some books. All of his original books were rejected, and they were all originally unpublished. But he didn't quit. And now, over 50 million books are available worldwide and being distributed. Why? Because somebody that faced a tough time didn't let the tough time stop them. I'll make it very clear to everybody in here. You may not invent the airplane, and you may not invent the Ford car, but everybody in here, you have a life to live, and you're to succeed in that life, and you're to make something great of that life, and you may not face the same burden that somebody else has faced, and you might not face the same mountain to climb that somebody else must face, but everybody here, is you're to succeed and you're to get the things done in life that you're supposed to do, and that means you are not to quit, you're to keep on going. You know, Mozart was originally dismissed from a position as a court musician in Salzburg, but he kept writing, and he wrote 600 pieces that today are lauded as the best music ever written. What happened? He just did not quit. I don't know how familiar you are with the field of athletics. With athletes that have ever succeeded, they all knew you had to just keep on going. You just can't quit. Michael Jordan, who I happen to believe was the best basketball player in history, did you know that he actually got cut from his high school basketball team? How'd you like to have been that coach? Bummer. Michael Jordan said, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my professional history. I have lost almost 300 games. He said, on 26 occasions, I was entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. And then he said, I have failed many times, but I have never quit one time. Let me tell you something, folks. There are people in this room, you could succeed as long as you don't decide you're going to quit. You just don't know how close to success you are, and if you're not careful, you're going to quit one step away from the success that you would like to achieve in your life. Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth has a long-standing home run record of 714 home runs. Many people don't realize that also for decades he held the strikeout record with 1,330 strikeouts. Here's Babe Ruth's attitude. He said, every strike brings me closer to my next home run. I like that. I like somebody that's got that kind of an attitude. Look, folks, if the lost world, for their lost causes, could grasp the importance of not quitting, don't you think you and I, as God's people, ought to understand the importance of going on? Should the lost have more backbone than the saved? Should the world have more grit than God's people? Should hell-bound people have more character and success than God's heavenly people? Not at all. I don't know what you're facing, but can I recommend something to you? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You say, I've been knocked down. Well, get up. Just get right back up and try again. You understand what success is? Success is a series of failures all added together that end up with an eventual victory. That's what it's all about. That's how you learn how to walk. You took a step and you fell. And then you took a step and you fell. And you took a step and you fell. Eventually, you learn to take two steps and you fell. Then you learn to take three steps and you fell. And most everybody in here walked in here on your own accord today. You have now learned how to succeed. And how'd you get there? By failing and failing and failing and failing. But you did not quit. And I thank God you didn't quit learning how to walk. I thank God you didn't quit learning how to talk. You know, when you first started out, you didn't know how to talk. You drooled all over the place. You said words that had no resemblance to what that thing you were saying was actually supposed to mean. But you learned how to do it. You learned how to eat. Most of you had no idea how to eat. You had it all over the place, in your hair, in your pockets, running down your back. But from a good look at all of you, you have definitely learned how to find your feed hole. How'd you do it? You failed, but you got up. And you failed, but you got up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, listen. The Bible is full of examples of people that did not quit on God. In Genesis, Noah didn't quit. He lost everything in a flood. In Exodus, the children of Israel did not quit. They were in captivity as slaves. In Leviticus, Aaron didn't quit. His sons, Nadab and Abihu, were slain. In Numbers, Moses didn't quit. His sister, Miriam, died. In Joshua, Joshua didn't quit. He had to fight a battle at Jericho and was outnumbered by his foe. In Ruth, Naomi didn't quit. Her husband died and her two sons died, and she was left all alone in a foreign country. In 1 Samuel, Jonathan didn't quit, but people were out to kill his best friend. In 2 Samuel, David didn't quit when his family fell apart due to immorality. In 1 Kings, Elijah didn't quit when the king and the queen had a warrant for his death out on the market. In 2 Kings, Elisha didn't quit when he was surrounded by Ben-Hadad's army. In Ezra, Ezra didn't quit even though the people he led chose money over God. In Nehemiah, Nehemiah didn't quit. While building a wall, he had to keep a sword in one hand to fight off the attackers that would destroy that wall. In Esther, Mordecai didn't quit. Haman tried to destroy his reputation and hang him. In Job, Job didn't quit. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his family. He lost his friends. But Job did not quit. In the Psalms, the psalmist said, I didn't quit. He said this, though. He said, I water my couch with tears. In other words, the psalmist said, I cry myself to sleep. And I've cried so much that the sheet on my bed was wet with the moisture from the tears of my eyes. But wait a minute, the same psalmist just a few verses later said, but the Lord hath heard me. What's he saying? The psalmist said, my heart was broken and I've cried, but God has heard my cry and he helped me to get back up. The psalmist did not quit. In Proverbs, Solomon says, a just man doesn't quit. He falleth seven times, but riseth up again. And if you've ever heard that verse taught, the Bible says, a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. What does it mean? You get knocked down, but you get back up. You get knocked down, but you get back up. You get knocked down, but you get back up. You get knocked down, but you get back up. You get knocked down, but you get back up. You get knocked down. But you get back up. You get knocked down, you get back up. You say, what's God saying? For every time you get knocked down, there's only one key to success. One key. You get knocked down. Here's the key. Get up. Get up. That's all it takes. Just get up again. Failures are people that get knocked down and stay down. Don't stay down, Christian. Don't stay down, teenager. Don't stay down, dad. Don't stay down, mom. Don't stay down, Christian. Get up. You say, it's hard. I'm sorry it's hard. I'm sorry you hurt. I'm sorry you cry yourself to sleep. But you have to have a preacher that believes the Bible, and God said, for every knockdown, you've got to have a get up. And some of you, you're down and you're contemplating staying there. Don't think about defeat. Think about victory. Get up. Get up. Hey, not only do we find in the book of Proverbs that Solomon did not quit, in Isaiah. Isaiah didn't quit, even though he, maybe better than anyone ever, knew of the coming Messiah's fate and crucifixion at the hands of man. And Jeremiah didn't quit. He had to tell his loved ones they were backslidden and away from God. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't quit. What happened to them? They got thrown in a burning fiery furnace, but they didn't quit. And Hosea didn't quit. His wife left him, and she actually went into a life of whoredom. And Jonah didn't quit. He had been swallowed by a whale, and to me, worse than that, he spent some time in whale puke. Listen, there's nothing worse than puke. I'll tell you something. When I get around puke, you know what it makes me want to do? Puke. And whale puke, I think, is worse than people puke. You say, how do you know that? There's got to be more of it. And then Jonah didn't quit. In Matthew, Joseph and Mary didn't quit. There was a law passed that their child should be put to death. In Mark, blind Bartimaeus did not quit. He had to beg for food and guidance as he walked. In Luke, Peter did not quit. He had cursed and denied Christ. Let me tell you say, preacher, I got knocked down. I knocked myself down. Okay, if you knocked yourself down, get yourself up. You just get right back up. Hey, the devil doesn't care how it gets done. He doesn't care if somebody knocks you down or you knock yourself down. It's not all about how you got down. It's all about if you will stay down. And I'm telling you, you need to get up. In John didn't quit. John, even as the Savior had been put to death, John kept going. In the book of Acts, Paul didn't quit. You understand the Apostle Paul? He faced snake bite, imprisonment. He was beaten and shipwrecked. Listen to what Paul said. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul, he kept on going. Paul was not a quitter. The Bible is full of examples from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation of people that got knocked down, but they did not quit. But not only that, people in different places, different situations, and people of different personalities have faced challenges, but they didn't quit. Different situations come upon all of us. Your situation may not be like mine, and mine might not be like yours. But look, you just shouldn't quit. Hey, there are people that lost their possessions, but they didn't quit. There are people that were prisoners, but they didn't quit. There are people that lost their families, but they didn't quit. There are people that had to fight impossible battles, but they didn't quit. There are people that lost God's blessing, but they didn't quit. There were people that were left all alone, but they didn't quit. There are people that watched their families fall into sin, but they didn't quit. There are people that faced death and death sentences, but they didn't quit. There are people that lost the loyalty of people that one time loved them, but they didn't quit. There are people that were under attack and their reputation was being marred, but they did not quit. There are people that knew the future seemed bleak, but they didn't quit. There are people that heard bad news, but they didn't quit. There are people that faced terrible illness, but they didn't quit. There are people that sinned against God, but they didn't quit. There are people that had run from God, but they didn't quit. There were people that were homesick, but they didn't quit on God. There are people that lost their health, but they didn't quit on God. There are people that had been cheated out of money and success, but they didn't quit on God. There are people that were confused about God's will for their life, but they didn't quit on God. There were people that were just plain tired, but they didn't quit on God. Folks, just so you understand, somewhere out there, somebody has faced something identical to what you're facing, but they didn't quit. If they can make it, you can make it. If they can take it, you can take it. There are people of all different kinds that have faced the challenges and the heartaches of life. But there are people of all different kinds that did not quit on God. There are kings that struggled, but they did not quit. There are queens that struggled, but they did not quit. There are moms that have struggled, but they did not quit. There are dads that have struggled, but they did not quit. There are sons that have struggled, but they did not quit. There are daughters who have struggled, but they did not quit. There are rulers that have gone through hardship, but they did not quit. There are servants that have struggled, but they didn't quit. There are captains and privates, both, that have struggled, but they didn't quit. There are executives who have faced struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are farmers that have faced struggles before you face yours. And those farmers kept on going. There are adults that face struggles, but they didn't quit. There are teenagers that have faced struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are children that have faced struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are custodians that have faced struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are rich people that face struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are poor folks who have faced struggles, but they didn't quit on God. There are wealthy people that have faced difficulties, but they didn't quit on God. Unhealthy people, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. There is somebody that's put together like you, that's faced a burden like yours, and they decided they would get up and try again, and they succeeded. Don't quit on God. There are different kinds of people in different situations, but people didn't quit. You know, there are all sorts of different places. Somehow people think that geography determines whether or not you'll succeed. Phooey on that. You know, God is everywhere. There are people who have quit, but and they were in the same type of a place you are, and yet there are others that succeeded in that same place. There were people that were at home when the temptation to quit came, but they did not quit. There are people that were at school when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were at work when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in a dormitory when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were working in their ministry when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in their church when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in jail when they were going to quit, but they didn't quit. There are people that were on the mountaintop when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in the valley when that temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were up north that were tempted to quit because it's so hard up north, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in the south when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that lived in the east when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that lived in the west when temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were with their friends when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. There are people that were with their enemies when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in a crowd when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were all alone when that temptation came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in a good place when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There are people that were in a bad place when the temptation to quit came, but they didn't quit. There were some that were in the dark room of despair and depression when the temptation to quit came, but they climbed out of the hole and reached up to the hand of God and said, I'm down, but I'm not staying down. I'm getting up. I'll get out of this. I'm going forward. I'll have victory. I will succeed for the cause of Jesus Christ. They faced all sorts of pressures. They faced the pressure of pain, but didn't quit. They faced the pressure of heartache, but didn't quit. They faced the pressure of burdens, but didn't quit. They faced the pressure of disloyalty, but didn't quit. They faced what we call stress, but didn't quit. They faced late bills, but didn't quit. They faced rebellious children, but didn't quit. They faced sick children, but didn't quit. They faced their bad past, but didn't quit. They faced their bad gas, but didn't quit. I can't believe that's in my outline. I'll tell you a story. Man that cared for the finances of church I pastored in years gone by, name was Paul. Paul had been a military man. He had a very severe case of sugar diabetes. He ended up losing both of his legs eventually throughout the entire process. His body, and I will not go into the full detail of it all, his body had been slowly but surely shutting down on him, but he took care of the finances in the church. He took care of the paperwork of the finances in the church. Every time there was a deacon's meeting, he did the minutes. He did all the financial reports. He took care of the financial listing and got a financial report monthly for our church together. And they had told him time and time again, Paul, there'll come a day when your health will deteriorate, and when that happens, you'll pass away, and you're going to pass away somewhat quickly. He was not real interested in some types of medicine and things like that. But I remember the day he came home from the hospital, and the doctor, and they said to him, Paul, we figure you have about 48 hours or so to live. Well, he expected that would happen. And this was a type thing where it really wasn't much negotiable. It was going to happen. Paul was going to pass away. Well, his wife called me and said, Preacher, I do not know what to do. Paul is insisting that I get his laptop for him. He said, Preacher has a deacon's meeting Tuesday night, and I am going to have the financial reports, and I'm going to have the deacon's meeting minutes ready for the preacher at his meeting on Tuesday night. She said, Preacher, I don't know what to do. You understand, Preacher, they say he'll probably pass away Tuesday afternoon. And he is insistent. He is insistent that he will do those financial reports. And she said, what am I supposed to do? I said, he's your husband. I am not in charge of him, and I don't think I'm the one that's going to tell him what to do. He insisted to the point that his wife gave him his laptop. And he passed away Tuesday morning. And Tuesday night I had a deacon's meeting. And all the paperwork was ready. You say, why? He was determined to finish what he started. I'm amazed. People today can get a little bit of a headache. You don't see him in church for months. Not the Christianity of the first century, that's for sure. We're looking for ways out instead of looking for ways in. We're looking for excuses. I'm glad I've come in contact with some people that have some guts, some drive, some determination. They're not looking for excuses to try to justify why they won't do for God what they ought to do, but they push themselves. And I'll tell you what, they succeed. They get knocked down, they get up. They get knocked down, they get up. They get knocked down, they get up. And I am so glad I've met some people like that in my lifetime. There are many different circumstances surrounding successful people that have been used by God. But I'll tell you, one of the main common denominators of people that succeed in life is this. They don't quit. They're not looking for excuses. They're not looking for the easy way. They're not looking for someone to pat them on the head or rub their belly. They want to succeed. You know, you can stand for right and you can believe right, but if you quit, then what good have you been? Don't quit. Someone said, quitters never win, and winners never quit. Dr. Jack Hiles, an arsonist, burnt his church building, a building that would seat about 4,000 people. They burnt it to the ground. You know something? They had the very next church service, they had church. They weren't looking for an excuse not to have church. They were looking for a reason to have church. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. You know, some of you men, I worry about some of you. I've got a feeling in regard to hanging in there, there are some of you men, if you're not careful, Joyce Meyer's going to be more of a man than you are. There's some of you, you'll be history. You'll be so far gone from church in a matter of weeks or months, we don't even know where you're at. But she'll still be in there. And I don't believe the way she believes, not for a moment. You say, I'm under a lot of financial pressure. Let me help you with that. Tough financial times. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 25, the Bible says, and there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Understand something. In Elisha's day, the prophet, the Syrians had besieged Samaria. There was a financial catastrophe and a food catastrophe going on, to the point that they were selling dove's dung for food. Let me ask you a question. How bad are your finances? What are you eating right now? You understand what they were going through? But if you'll study the story of this man that was the prophet at that time by the name of Elisha, he just kept going. He did not quit. But wait, it gets worse for them financially. 2 Kings 6:28 it says, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. You realize it was so bad that the heathen, there were people that were actually eating their own children. You say, I've really got a bad thing going on financially. Oh, phooey. In America, we throw away more food than some countries even get to eat. Usually it's not a problem that we don't have enough finances, it's that we waste it and we're spoiled rotten. We couldn't keep insurance on the 3 cars and the $400,000 home. But Elisha did not quit. He did not quit. I want you to think about it for a second. Eating dung and humans. But there were people in that day that kept on going for God and were successful people. They were really facing the financial crunch. Did you know that if you quit, you'll take somebody with you? Y'all know the story of Judges chapter 7 and Gideon? He was to go to war with the Midianites. God started Gideon with 32,000 soldiers. 22,000 of them quit because of fear. 9,700 of them quit because they didn't have common sense. Gideon was left with 300 soldiers to fight a foe that was so big you couldn't even number them all. You say, well, I think God wanted Gideon to win with 300. So do I. Let me ask, which one of the two groups would have you been a part of? The 300? Or the 31,700 quitters that just looked for a way out? I think I'd want to be part of the 300. You know, I've watched people. Folks, let me tell you something. The only difference between you and the other people in this life will probably come down to this. Some quit and some don't. Some quit and some don't. Say, well, they're smarter than me. Yeah, smart enough not to quit. You say, they're richer than me. Yeah, rich enough in common sense to know that if you just take another step, it's the only chance you have to succeed in life. Folks, nobody quits alone. Somebody here, you're going to quit and you're going to take your wife with you. Or you're going to quit and you're going to take your husband with you. You're going to quit and you're going to take your children down a path that you'll regret. You quit, you'll take friends with you. You quit, you'll take your ministry with you. You quit. Hey, and some of you, you'll take people when you quit. You'll take somebody with you and you don't even realize who's quitting with you. There are people that watch you, and when you quit on God, they will quit on God, and you didn't even realize you were influencing them. Quitters start a domino effect around them. Do you know that when Peter quit for the season that he did, he said, I go a-fishing. And you know what his disciples said? We go also with thee. Folks, it's not time to resign on God. It's time to re-enlist for God. You know, I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher, and I don't want to quit on what I've been all these years. I have no intention, by God's grace, of throwing in the towel and giving up on the King James Bible and giving up on the Baptist church, giving up on the old-time religion, and giving up on old-fashioned preaching. I'm going to tell you just one brief story, and we'll be on our way. It won't take long. I was a 17-year-old boy. I was in Bible college. My mentor had come out onto the platform. And he had told everybody, he said, and all preacher boys and young ladies that were committed to serve God with their life. And he spent about 45 minutes challenging us and saying, those dormitories are not dormitories, they're barracks. And this isn't a game, this is a battle, and the devil's our enemy. And if we're going to win, you're going to have to be tough. You're going to get knocked down, but get up and don't quit on God. And boy, I mean, he was shucking the corn, to tell you the least. He was preaching up a storm. I sat out there as a 17-year-old kid. I'd graduated from high school early, and I was 17 sitting there in college, and I was a young preacher boy, and I was hearing this old grizzled veteran say, don't quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. You know, at the very end of his sermon, he said, say it with me. I will not quit. We would say it back. I will not quit. He'd say it again. I will not quit. I got to tell you something. As a 17-year-old young man, I took those words as seriously as I knew how. I had decided that God was my God. I had decided the Bible was my book. I had decided that I would not quit on God. I had decided I was not going to be put on the shelf, put aside, and I decided that I never wanted to quit on God. Have you ever decided that? But I'm going to tell you something. If there are some people in this room that don't decide that, you are going to end up a catastrophe in life. You've got to decide you won't quit on God. Well, he said it. I will not quit. I will not quit. Men, let me ask you a question. Are there some men in this room who would say, I'm willing to make the decision. I will not quit. Any adult men that would say, I'm asking you to raise your hand. I won't quit. Stand up with me for a second, men. Say it with me. I will not quit. Again. I will not quit. Again. I will not quit. Hey, is there anybody else in here? Hey, if I were you, I would stand up if you don't mean it. Are you a teenager, an adult lady? Are you willing to make the decision today you won't quit on God? If you're like that, stand up with me. Let's say it together. I will not quit. Again, I will not quit. Again, mean it. I will not quit. Now, let me tell you something. There are going to be times when your heart's going to be broken. There's going to be times when you're going to get cheated. There's going to be times when it's just going to be, it's going to be so hard. You wonder if you can make it. Well, you can make it. You've decided you're not going to quit on God. And let's make it so that when you're 85 and 90 and they're getting ready to put you in the hole we call a grave, that you have not quit on God. You say, what's wrong, Pastor? I'm so tired of watching people quit on God. Preacher, I'm so tired of watching preachers quit on God. I'm tired of watching husbands quit on their wives and wives quit on their husbands and parents quit on their kids. And I'm tired of seeing people quit on God. Let's decide never to quit on God. We won't do it by ourselves, but by God's grace, we can be faithful to the end. This is what Paul said. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Phew. I have been knocked down, and knocked down, and knocked down. And I'm not real smart. There's only one thing that I know to do. Is get up. Get up. If you're down, get up. Don't stay down. I'll be honest. Maybe there's shame in it, maybe there's not, but I'm going to say there's no shame in getting knocked down. There's shame in staying down. I don't care if you're a bloody mess when you stand up. Get up again and go for another round. And as long as you're sucking air, God has a purpose for your life. And don't you let the devil stop you from doing something great for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You may remain standing. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I've pointed this sermon toward born-again Christian people. But if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. That'll give you the strength to weather the storm, just being saved. But may I say then, to those of you that are born again Christians, has God spoken to your heart? There's some of you, hey, I might not know your burden, might not be anybody that knows your burden. But there are people that are facing battles and struggles in life, and I'm just telling you, don't you stay down. There are people in this room, you made a decision that you would not quit on God. I hope 40 years from now, you'll think back to the morning you were at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church and you heard a sermon called Don't Quit on God. And you stood and you chanted and said, I won't quit on God. I will not quit. Who here would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart today. He has spoken to me specifically. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put those hands down. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, help me. I need your strength. I don't want to quit. Maybe if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you face a burden? Do you face a heartache? Do you face a challenge? Do you need to come and say, God, help me. I don't want to quit. I'm not going to quit by your grace and by your power. Is it an illness? Is it a financial reversal? Is it a burden? Is it a heartache? Is it an embarrassment? Well, whatever it is, just don't quit. I'll be quite honest with you. You say the devil is fighting me tooth and nail. Well, let me tell you something about that. If the devil's fighting you tooth and nail, it means you're a worthy opponent. If the devil's fighting you, it means he has a reason to try to stop you. What's that mean? I think the devil sees that there's a potential. There's a possibility within inside you that you could do something wonderful. You could make an eternal difference. You could impact your world for Jesus Christ. No wonder the devil fights. I hope you never forget it. The day you said, I will not quit. Husbands, don't quit on your wives. Wives, don't quit on your husbands. Don't quit on your children. Don't quit on your job. Don't quit on your mom and dad. Don't quit. Keep going. This is the last time through the song, and in a moment, we'll find out about a couple people that have been saved, and we'll be on our way.